We're still in verse 78, chapter 1, Luke. Through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring on high hath visited us. Hath visited was, doesn't just mean go and say hi to somebody. It means to look after, to expect, to examine, to have care for, to provide for. It's this thing about, the noun form of that verb is the word for bishop. I remember we studied that before. Luke 1:78. Whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us. Let's look at a couple of visited us's. It's a paskeptomai. So Matthew 25. Starting verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and the word is all people. And he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was a-hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. And then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered, etc., etc. When it says, I was in verse 36, I was sick and you visited me. This is the same word that means to look after, to inspect, to examine with the eyes, to have care for, to benefit, to provide for. And that's not you know, some churches have an office or a pastor whose job is quote unquote visitation, and that's all well and good. This one man visits and checks on people. But the problem is, again, then they defer to professionals as opposed to each member of the body fulfilling this. And we have a tendency here to do the same thing. We defer to the paid staff instead of each one as the opportunity arises, meets that need. And hopefully we're going to do something about it. But the most important of all these scriptures is in James. So let's go to James 1 about what it really means, what visit really means. What?
Nothing.
Verse 26 in chapter 1. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is in vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Christ sees this idea of visitation as in the same power as he sees mercy. The mercy that we've been shown, we must share. And that fact that we have been visited by him, that means we must visit the poor, the orphans, the hungry. And this visitation is real. It's not contrived. It's not a program. It must come from the heart. And I know I'm guilty of not doing it sometimes. Ronnie, let me say something to you, okay? I love that you come to Bible study. But there's no excuse for the number of times that you come in late. And I beg of you, set your alarm 10 minutes early, because each day, you know, sometimes you come in early. But each day you come in 5 to 10 minutes late. And it's just disrespect.
Sorry.
Yeah, but I want you to understand it.
Yeah.
All right. So each of us must look after, inspect, have care for, benefit, and provide for. Every time we see someone that's poor, every time we see somebody that's sick, and the widows. And that is true religion. That plus keeping yourself unspotted from the world. There's a jillion scriptures about this. Luke 19:44, Acts 15:44, Acts 15:36, and then the one we just studied. But anyway, please, please, please. It's so easy. And as I said, all of us are guilty. To just sort of either defer to somebody else or to... Anyway.
It's like those two things are linked together by it. Like keep yourself unspotted from the world because you're giving up your own agenda.
Amen.
For somebody else, you're not thinking about yourself. And so you're out of yourself at that point.
And
those are
amen. All right. What happens to me is unimportant as long as I meet your need. All right. Luke 1. Verse 79. And again, to put it all in context, I'm going to start back at 76. And thou, child, shall be called the prophet of the highest, and thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his way, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the dayspring on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. To give light is epiphino. It means it's the active voice, and it's to reveal the light, to reveal the light. The light has been revealed to us. Therefore, we must reveal it to others. Not as a program, but as an automatic of who we are. Let's look at a couple of these. Let's go to Acts 27. Sometimes the word is translated, to give light, it's translated, hath appeared, and that's what we're going to look at in a few verses. Acts 27. Paul is in this ship. And there's this huge storm that comes. He's in the ship, under guard, headed for Rome. Well, that's just, we started verse 14. But not long after, there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. That's like a hurricane. It means a special kind of storm. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. We let her just go. And running under a certain island, which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat, which when they had taken up, they used helps, undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksand, struck sail, and so were driven. And we being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. And the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, no small tempest lay on us. All hope that we should be saved was taken away. And again, the stars and the moon and the sun didn't give their light because there was a cloud. So it didn't appear because of the cloud. This is our guidance. Again, when the cloud is down, you have options. You do nothing. When the cloud is raised, then the way is obvious. There's never a decision. There's never a reason for turmoil. If the cloud is down many days, you rest in your tabernacle, in peace, abiding. When the cloud is raised, then there's no decision. It's as obvious as anything what to do. Any better understand this? The guidance of God? So, anyway, that was just a showing on it. The physicality of what that means. Now let's go to Titus. Just before Hebrews. Philemon is just before Hebrews, just before Philemon. Verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men.
Chapter
2, verse 10, or verse 11. Hath appeared. The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. The gospel has been preached to every creature under heaven. Now, this is the same word. To give light is the word that means to hath appeared. Now, you believe the gospel hath appeared to all men? Do you believe it hath appeared to you? If you do, then you're without excuse. All right, Titus chapter 3. Verse 3. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of our Savior, of God, our Savior, toward men appeared. Again, he appeared. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. By the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Again, it's in verse 4. But after that, the kindness and love of our God, of God, our Savior, toward men appeared. Again, it's the same word, epiphino. He appeared because he gave light. He appeared because he is light. What else could we have? What else could we want? All right. He hath appeared, back to Luke, to give light, or appear, he appeared, to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. That sit is just the word kathami, which means to dwell. The world is dwelling in darkness. Darkness is skotos. It's in the actual, you know, in the word is used to describe what a blind man sees. It's also used of evil works. It's used of physical darkness, but most often it's used of spiritual darkness. Something has happened in which for some reason, and I know exactly in me what the reason was. I sat in darkness and I didn't know it. I convinced myself I was living in light. And because I convinced myself that this darkness was light, then I was deceived beyond comprehension. And when that light appeared in me, it dissolved everything else. And I pray that that light appears in you with the same brilliance that it appeared to Paul, so that you never again sit in darkness. Let's go to Isaiah 60, I think.
69?
60, I think. I'm not sure. No. Yeah, 60. Isaiah 6:0. Arise, wake from your sleep, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. Again, this was written about 700 years before Christ. And he says it in the past tense. The light is come. The glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. All right, go to Ephesians. Chapter 5. See, the reason that I like Gary here is because he always, I can smell the gears moving in his mind. Nobody else is moving?
This must be a challenge for you.
Great challenge. Have nobody to pick on.
There's only one Gary.
Ephesians 5.
I don't know, yeah. Oh, yeah, I do too. Verse 6. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not therefore partakers with them, for you were sometimes darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving or what is acceptable unto the Lord. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Light, light, light. You don't fix darkness by analyzing it. What makes manifest is light. Turn the light on. That light has shined upon all men. So what? How do you do that? What happens then? What's our relationship with all men? To the Jew, you become as a Jew. To the unbelievers, you become as an unbeliever. All that, blah blah blah. But what what is you reprove the works of darkness. How do you reprove it? By exposing it. Now, some of us do it maybe a little too much, so you lose all kinds of friends. But you don't sit and watch someone live in darkness, and you don't join that darkness. You reprove it. Now, everything is darkness. Politics, finance, anything. Everything and everything is darkness except this mystery of God.
Does reprove mean repent?
Reprove means cause you to hear. Reprove means reveal its idiocy. But you reprove and you exhort and you cause them to pass from one state of being, time of the shadow of death, to eternity, where therein is the light. But how much time do we spend analyzing darkness? Figuring out a way to get out of darkness.
Yeah, I was thinking, it's also like trying to prove to somebody that they're in darkness when really, by releasing the light in you, it just does that automatically. If it's real, you know, and so it's like that's part of it, you know, it's like.
Let's go look at a couple of these. This darkness is always used in a bad sense. Let's go to 1 John chapter 1. First John chapter 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, then we have fellowship. And in the Greek, it's we have fellowship automatically with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin, from all self, when we find ourselves falling into self. But again, this in verse 5. This is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. Again, bring forth fruit necessary for repentance. That's all. Because after repentance, the light is real. Not the repentance of the world, oh, I'm sorry I did that, and I'm sorry I got caught, and blah, blah, blah. But the repentance of God, which is true and total acceptance of your death, the abandonment of every aspect of yourself, disowning yourself. Let's go back to Luke 22.
You said Luke chapter 22?
Yep. Man, they're long chapters in Luke. Jesus is in the garden. Two of his disciples fall asleep. Verse 47, and while he yet spake, behold, a multitude, he that was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them and drew near Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said unto him, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? When they which were about him saw what would follow, they said unto him, Lord, shall we smite with the sword? And one of them smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. And Jesus answered and said, Suffer ye thus far. And he touched his ear and healed him. Then Jesus said unto the chief priests and the captains of the temple and the elders which were come to him, Be ye come out as against a thief with swords and weapons? When I was daily with you in the temple, you stretched forth no hands against me. But this is your hour, and this is the power of your darkness. Wow. Let's go back to 1 John, one more. Chapter 2. You got to hear, these words are written almost 2,000 years ago. The ones we read in Isaiah were written 2,700 years ago, and they said it was past, the past tense. Verse 7, 1 John chapter 2, verse 7. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard from the beginning. And again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. The darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. You can sit there and try to analyze why you're not in it. That's not the life. The life is abandonment of self, and the light, the true light, will shine within you when you come to the end of yourselves. Disown it. Walk away from yourself as you would a pile of dung.
It's weird to think that the darkness that you want to return to is what Jesus was saying, was this is the hour of darkness, is the crucifixion.
Right.
Whenever you return there, you're in the place of those people.
And you should crucify the Son of God afresh.
You're persecuting Christ.
The light, to give light to them that sit in darkness, and back to Luke in verse 79, to give light to them that sit in darkness or dwell in darkness and in the shadow of death. You can't believe how many times that phrase, the shadow of death, it's not just in the 23rd Psalm, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. It's all over the place. And so we're going to look at the shadow of death the next time we meet. If we meet again. I pray the end comes this instant. But if you have any garment spotted by the flesh, then I ask the Lord to delay until you have no garment spotted by the flesh. Amen?
Yeah.
Anybody?
Just struck by that scene, you know, where
this
they're coming,
is
to,
power.
Coming to get him. He said, this is your hour. It's like, this is as good as it gets for the darkness.
Right? Amen. Take it, big guy.
One of those, who are you?